Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another episode of arguably the greatest podcast ever named News from the Castle. Isn't that awesome? All right. Anyway, Dempsey here, editor-in-chief at the Diz Insider, joined once again by my two lovely co-hosts. Who are you guys? Tell me.
Hi, everybody. I'm Amber, and you might also hear I have a little bit of a co-host today. My lovely cat, Paul, has decided that he wants to be part of this. So if you happen to hear him, no biggie. He's just having a good time.
Tell us his full name.
His full name is Paul McCatney Olkers. Chris said the only way we could get a cat is if we named him something to do with a cat pun, and he already came with the name Paul and was surprisingly starting to respond to that, because I heard the cats don't usually give a shit, like, even about their own names, but Paul kept, and then we figured out the cat pun name, and then so it all worked out in the end.
See, and I hate
sniffing the trash can.
I love it.
Yeah, his name is fitting too, but I was just telling Amber, I said it's a missed opportunity. She should have named him Paul, but with P-A-W-L.
Yeah, no, that would have been good. And now we might have to change his license for next year, see if we can update his name.
No, that's great. That's great. Well, we got a lot of news for you guys today. Some really great stuff, some really interesting things.
Oh, I'm Jordan, by the way.
Oh, Jordan, I'm sorry, buddy.
I'm so sorry. You know what? Paul's actually our third co-host. We don't need Jordan anymore. We just have my little boy's random muse.
We're phasing Jordan out for a cat.
No. I wouldn't mind that. I'm a cat person, so I'd still listen.
That's great. Imagine he knows everything about Disney parks.
What is he doing?
Yeah, he's like hitting his head against the wall. What's going on?
So he's on top of the wine fridge, and I think there's cords or something back there that he's not used to, and he's trying to bap at them. But it just looks like he's bashing his head against the wall.
Yeah, so that's why I
can't see this. So he's like,
kill me. I don't want to be here.
This podcast again.
She didn't get the hint last week when I tried to jump on her head. Damn it. It's all good. Well, Paul is a welcome addition. Like I said, we got plenty of news for you guys today. We're going to kick it off with what everybody loves, right? Everybody loves Sony's Spider-Verse, right? That's like the new hot thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
To Morbius. Emma Roberts is joining Marvel and Sony's Madam Web. I don't know how to feel about this. I don't even know how to feel about this movie.
How? Why? Why would anybody with such star power and such a big name want to join something that's obvious, that's like so flawed, that we've seen every single movie of theirs has been literally terrible? I love Venom, but I will say it is a bad movie. So like, why are all these big name people and all these freaking beautiful women joining what's going to be a shit show of a film? I don't understand.
So on background, I did not report on this because I don't know how true it is, but the cast kind of makes it seem like it's true. According to Daniel Rickman, Daniel RPK, industry insider, right? We're a fan of his stuff. He's pretty accurate a lot of the time. He said that the film is going to be revolving around Madam Web, who is already going to be established. Dakota Johnson, I guess, it's not going to be an origin story, right? And she's going to have to get a team of female superheroes. That's what the plot of the film will be. For what? I don't know. I mean, the cast has been nothing but females. I think there's only one male so far.
I would much rather have, what is it, like the A-Force or something like that for the Avengers all women.
Which we also spoke about, which it seems like they're like segueing into soon.
Yeah, I'd much rather have that than whatever Sony decides to do with it, because it's not going to be written well. It's not going to be about female empowerment. It's just, I don't even want to see where this is going to end up going.
I feel like they're trying to do like a Birds of Prey kind of thing with this, if that is the plot or in the focus of the film. But I don't see, like, I don't want this to come off the wrong way, but I don't understand why else they would be just having a bunch of young female stars recruited for the film. And I mean, they're all big names too. That's the craziest part, right? We got Sydney Sweeney, Dakota Johnson, obviously, Isabella Merced. this could, I mean, it could absolutely work as a film about female empowerment, but you got two men writing it, which is also like the giant question mark looming.
Female stories written by men never end up
ever
being accurate. And it's so frustrating when they're like, we're going to tell a story about women, then have women write it.
Yes. And I mean, there's a female director, but yeah, it's, yeah, every week I get more and more confused about this project. So, but hey, we got Craven, right? Craven. No one's excited about that one. All right. Anyway, that's our Sony Spider-Verse bit for the week. Just as quick as we said it, it's now over. Any fans of Howard Stern in the room?
No.
Not really. I'm going to be honest. I think I barely remember what his voice sounds like.
I was writing a story and I went on his social media and he says that he calls himself the king of media. But like, I don't know who his audience is anymore. I know he's a popular name, a household name, arguably.
Well, I think he used to be one. I don't think he's had staying power in the past like 15 years.
The exposure I've had of him, I think, is America's Got Talent. Was he on that?
Yes, and it's funny. All right, so we'll just have to go into the story. Amber, you want to lead this one?
Yeah, sure. So in arguably the weirdest news of the week, Howard Stern spoke on his show. He accidentally, I guess, left his mic on, and someone asked him, they're like, hey, Howard, what are you doing this summer? And he's like, oh, I'm doing Doctor Doom, which... there's no other context. There's nothing else that really kind of says what this project is. He does, if you listen like real close, you can hear him say Robert Downey Jr. and Jon Favreau. So it makes it seem as though it would be something to do with the MCU proper, but also Robert Downey Jr. is not in the MCU anymore. So it's kind of confusing as to what avenue this is going to take, because, you know, they've got graphic novels and comics and animated shows, and then they have the MCU as a whole. I know that Doctor Doom is going to be coming eventually. I mean, we got Fantastic Four. There's still rumbles that he's going to be in Black Panther Wakanda Forever, but I don't know what kind of a role Howard Stern would be playing in this. Maybe it's going to be like he's playing himself interviewing Doctor Doom or something on the radio. That's kind of where I take it. But I'm not a big Howard Stern fan. I don't really care, but you know, if he's bringing us closer to Doctor Doom, then that's what matters to me. So
I think the last sentence is exactly how everybody feels. Like, who gives a crap about Howard Stern? But hey, if he's shooting something for Doctor Doom, that means Doctor Doom is coming, and he's coming soon. I could not in any multiversal world out there imagine Doctor Doom sitting down for an interview with Howard Stern. That just sounds ridiculous.
I mean, but like, weirder things have happened.
Yes, exactly. I think this is talking about a graphic novel. I feel like it is. But there are extended, so if you go to our website where you can catch all the stories, DisneyInsider.com, you can hear the snippet of the mic being hot and him talking about it. There's a longer version out there somewhere. I could not find it for the life of me. But apparently he brings up Kevin Feige, and I think scheduling him to be on the show is also brought up. And there are some other things that he says to make it believe like he's going to be acting for real. But I mean, if you're playing yourself, you're not really acting. So, and there are people who say that they heard him talking about calling up Robert Downey Jr. for acting tips, which once again begs the question, if he's not playing himself, who is he playing? I don't think he's going to be playing Doctor Doom. I do not. But that's probably the most out of the box casting of the last 100 years.
That would ruin everything.
Yeah, but I don't know. We'll continue to follow the story. I think it's very interesting. Like I said, it's one of many interesting stories we have this week. But for one thing's for certain, Doctor Doom is in Marvel's, I guess, the forefront of their brain. And I think they're planning on bringing him. We can certainly expect to see him soon. Like another character who an actor was approached about. Jordan, you want to tell? I specifically selected this guy and this story for you because I have a feeling that he's a daddy in your books.
I thought you might say that, but I'm not too sure because he seems a bit young.
What?
Oh, he's too young to be a daddy.
Okay, well, No, he's granted. I actually don't know how old you are, Jordan. But I know that Taron Egerton's probably a little. Well, I know he's close to my age, and I'm. Oh my God, I'm about to be 26. So I think he's definitely like appropriate for me. But
he's. I'm 29. I think he's 31. I think
that's fine.
Only because I was Googling him the other day, but I only know that because
he's not a daddy, but I definitely Googled him recently.
Oh, he is 100% Googleable. Yeah. Anyway, we should get back on the topic.
Talk to me about Taron Egerton.
He said he's been promoting his Apple TV Plus series Blackbird, and he mentioned in an interview that he has met with Marvel Studios, and he name-dropped Wolverine, which is a popular fan cast for Wolverine, is Taron Egerton. I don't know how I feel about that, but he is the right height for Wolverine, because Wolverine's meant to be short.
Why does everyone care about us? Hugh Jackman's like 6'3", and he was amazing as Wolverine.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that in real life, Wolverines are very small and vicious, yeah, and that's maybe how they...
is over, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm that's like...
But I think it's better than Scott Eastwood, the I don't know, person.
Oh, no.
Their fan casting. No.
I haven't seen anything in where he's shown that he could be Wolverine.
I also wouldn't mind him as Johnny Storm.
Who, Taron.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind Taron as Johnny Storm. He
I can see that.
He
yeah.
has like the little bit of douchebaggy qualities that Johnny... Yeah. That Johnny has. I don't know. I feel like that one would work. And I just want him. I want him to do more stuff. I know that he's about to start Kingsman 3. But after that's done, I don't know what his plans are. I mean, yeah. I would also love him for Hercules. But a Disney Hercules, not Marvel Hercules. I need to specify that. But yeah, no. I think I just want him in the MCU. I want him at Disney. I want him everywhere because he's really cute. So
here's the thing. I'm over fan casts. After Reed Richards in Doctor Strange, I don't do fan casts anymore.
Okay,
unless, you know, it's you know, our own people fan casting us in the Diz Insider movie, whatever the plot will be for that. That was a great episode. No, Taron Egerton, I do think he would make a good Wolverine for a number of reasons, but the simple fact that he's a popular fan cast, I don't think should make the person automatically Wolverine. I could see why he's being talked about, being talked with about the character. You know that him and Hugh Jackman are like really good friends in real life.
Yes, I believe they worked on Eddie the Eagle together a few years ago. That was a good movie. I liked that one.
Fun fact, when I worked at the movie theater, we had a premiere for it, and I had to escort them both to the elevator, and you're right, Taron Egerton is hella short, and Hugh Jackman is hella tall. But they seemed really friendly together. And I remember thinking, I was like, yo, wouldn't it be crazy if like he handed, I think it was like the same year Logan came out or whatever. I was like, it'd be crazy if he handed down the mantle to him eventually. And now it's like an actual like movement going on. But my thing about Taron Egerton is, has he done any movies where he's not, where he's like shown an American accent? I can't think of any off the top of my head.
I didn't see his Robin Hood. Was he American in that one?
I didn't see it. I don't think anybody saw that one.
Is he American in Sing, where he plays like the girl?
He's British.
I think he still has his British accent in that too.
Okay.
That's the thing. I don't know how, like, because obviously Wolverine is Canadian. So, he's not American, but North American. And he doesn't, I haven't heard him shake that accent. Surprisingly, it's rare that you see like a British actor who, after they become big, they stick to British roles. But for the most part, Taron Egerton is stuck mostly to British roles. So I would have to see that. I would have to see him in a serious performance where he kind of shakes the accent to know for sure if he's capable of doing it. But I think he has the physical body type for it. I think he's obviously fit like Wolverine, and I think he could pull it off. But once again, I don't know. This is why you cannot just do fan casts based off the looks. So that's my two cents. That's the most I'll rant for the day, guys. I promise. But yeah, Taron Egerton potentially joining the MCU like a million. I mean, we've reported these kinds of stories all the time. It happens. I think Lady Gaga was supposed to be in the MCU at some point. Who hasn't been approached to be a part of the MCU? So Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But one thing we do know is happening this year, and I'm willing to bet money by the end of the month we'll have our first trailer for it, Black Panther. You guys see those leaks?
Yeah.
I did. So those are like officially leaks. It's not something that like meant to come out or whatever was starting to. It was just straight up someone did not do their job.
I think, yeah, it's the same thing like do you remember those cups for She-Hulk on Amazon? Yes. Yeah, it's like that. I think these are just like designs that came out and they weren't supposed to come out. And another reason why I definitely believe they are leaks is because you remember the blurry leaks that came out a few months ago?
Yes.
Yeah.
The picture of Namor is the same one, same stance and same everything, except it's not blurry anymore. Yeah. And plus it has a watermark for something called at MCU underscore facility, which does not sound.
Oh, there we go. Yes. Okay. There we go. I did not look close enough.
No. Yeah. So, if you guys have seen the leaks, if you haven't, you can check them out on our website. There are more, I want to say bigger leaks than this, but I think that some of them got like notices because I saw one of Riri Williams going around and that one was like up and gone in a flash. Yet the ones of Namor and Atuma and I think Namorita are also up, but they have not been taken down. So long story short, Namor looks pretty badass.
Yeah, he looks pretty cool. I would not want to mess with him.
I'm curious to see. And honestly, you know, Tino Cuerta, from all the things I've seen him do, he looks totally different, which is exciting. The guy definitely got built for this, brolic as hell in this. One noticeable thing is that the Atlanteans are blue. And I brought this up in the chat early. I don't know if you guys saw. I don't know if they're painted blue or if they're actually blue people, but I'm curious to see what that's all about. What do you think, Jordan? I want to know what your thoughts are on this whole thing.
The only thing I can think of of them why they're blue is maybe to differentiate a bit more from Aquaman, which, you know, came out a few years ago now, but it's still close enough that it could get compared.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Other than that, I have no idea. It could be paint. But was it Alexis that posted it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was Avatar related.
Right, and that's why I'm like, I don't want them to be blue because we have Avatar coming out this Christmas and this comes out a month before, and that's just going to cause a crap ton of confusion. Like, I know there's going to be some confusion with the Atlantis from the DC universe, but they're based on different cultures. I think it would have been fine enough to have them look like human beings or whatever kind of different alien race they wanted without making them blue.
Yeah.
That is a good point. And the Avatar thing, which the sequel takes place in water. And we do have some Avatar news for you later on, guys, I promise. But that's a bit of my confusion. I don't know. It looks sick, though. This Atuma guy. Awesome. Looks awesome. We also get our first look at Shuri and Okoye, who look like, I mean, Okoye just doesn't age, apparently. She looks the exact same. Shuri has gotten, she's in a fighting stance, which obviously leads me to believe that she is going to be doing, like, in the action. She's leaving the computer lab, and she's going to be fighting some crime. Interesting thing, right? I know there's a lot of rumors out there swirling about who's the next Black Panther. Not seen anything or heard anything about Winston Duke and Manape.
That is who I want. That is what I would prefer.
I think it's possible. I think I think if I'm not mistaken, they shot a bunch of different things and then nobody knows the real, how the real mantle is going to be taken over. But I just find that really interesting. Even from like set photos, I've only ever seen Shuri and Okoye.
Yeah, like they're so quiet about M'Baku that it makes me think that it is going to be him.
Yeah, not only that, and also we haven't seen anything about Lupita Nyong'o, which makes I don't know if you guys remember that theory I spoke about a while back, saying I think that her character might have had a kid that might eventually be the Black Panther. So, I don't know. I this kind of secrecy gets me excited. I'm going to be pissed off because I know that it's going to get ruined the closer we get to the film.
Oh, 100%. I mean, the Thor post-credit scenes are already out. Like, yes. Everything's going to get leaked at some point.
But the fact that it was kept a secret all the way up until a week and a half before the film, I'm impressed, at least.
Yeah, that's true.
But this kind of secrecy, like these kind of things, even though they are leaks still, they're like leaks, but like leading you in the wrong direction, right? Like you don't know, you kind of know what to expect, but they're going to blindside you with something else, like potential Doctor Doom and post-credit scene. I don't know. We don't know. But yeah, this is exciting. If you guys want to take a look at the leaks for yourself while they're still up, because there is a chance that we can be asked to take them down as well, check them out on thedizinsider.com. And that leads us to our next story. We're almost done with the Marvel news, I promise. We just spoke about Thor. Talk to us, Amber, about Taika Waititi potentially teasing a fifth Thor film.
Yeah, so Taika Waititi just did an interview with Entertainment Tonight, and he was saying that he has one goal, that he wants to take things that annoy MCU fans and make them love it, which totally seems like something he would do. You know, he completely took the character of Thor and turned him on his head. Thor and Thor the Dark World were so dark and like gritty and grr, and then you look at Thor Ragnarok and what I'm assuming Love and Thunder is going to be like, and they're so fun and colorful and bold and really took the character in a completely different direction than we thought he was going to go when we first met him. And so he's like, yeah, I'm interested and I want to take whatever the fans don't want. And then that's going to be the next Thor film. And someone was joking that it could be like a buddy road trip movie with Chris Pratt and Chris Hemsworth and the two of them like driving to someone's house for Christmas. And basically he just wants to, I know that whatever it is, whatever Thor 5 is, it's going to be a good time and it'll be fun. And it'll be, I'm hoping that it'll be nice and like lighthearted still, because I have a feeling that Love and Thunder is going to be a gut punch. So I'd like some levity here.
Wait, you think something bad? Have you guys seen Thor yet? No, right?
No, I haven't seen it, but I'm familiar with the comic run that it's going to be following. And I am very worried for my homegirl, Ms. Foster. So,
what about you, Jordan? You seen it yet?
No. The new one?
Yeah.
I see it on Tuesday.
Oh, okay. All right. So this episode will be most likely out after, but I'm excited to hear your thoughts, Jordan. But so you say gut punch. That means, oh, my God. I've read some of the Jason Aaron run. I have not finished it, though. But I know obviously the reason why she's kind of selected. I'm curious to see if they follow that, to why she wields the hammer. But I'm really interested. I hope he gets to like finish out his trilogy. I think that he saved the Thor franchise.
He so. Did. Yeah, I think you can equate everyone's newfound love for the character to him, because before people were like they loved Loki, but they had no, sorry, my cat's going crazy, but they had no, like, you know, didn't feel anything for Thor because he was so wooden and they didn't know what to do with him. And besides, you know, make him go to a whole bunch of different planets, ice planets and stuff. But now I like the direction that his character is going in. And I like how he teamed up with the Guardians. And I don't know how much they're going to be in Thor 4 or how much he's going to be in their like holiday special or Guardians 3. But I like that kind of quirky interaction between them.
Yeah, I knew when he killed the Warriors 3 in Ragnarok that this is going to be like a total revamping of the franchise. So I thought it was really clever. So, and I think as you pointed out, I think he said he wanted to do like a Christmas.
A Chris, movie. Chris, Christmas. Yes.
I would see it totally. And he seemed really excited about it in that interview. If you guys want to check it out on our website. So, anyway, moving on to our final, Marvel story. Jordan, talk to me. I know you know nothing about Disney Wish. For those of you guys who do know nothing about Disney Wish as well, it is a brand new cruise line that is launching later this month. I think, yeah, probably a week from when you're probably listening to this episode or when it's released. And it's going to have a lot of interactive adventures. You've probably seen some memes online about a drink on board the ship that costs $5,000, which is insane. And I hope that the drink gives you superpowers or something. But anyway, regardless, aboard the cruise line, you have an interactive adventure, several interactive adventures. I think the one from Lucasfilm and one is from Marvel. And the Marvel one has a series of videos where with a bunch of heroes, actual actors reprising their roles as heroes, such as Anthony Mackie, Brie Larson, Iman Vellani, from what I saw, appears in it as well as Ms. Marvel, but also Ant-Man. And Paul Rudd has this great clip that leaked online from somebody who got to experience the adventure early. And in it, he acknowledges the theory that he should have gone into Thanos's butt and popped him that way. Do you guys want to elaborate on this? Did you guys see the video?
Yes, I did. And I like how they play it off like, it wouldn't have worked that way anyway. When we know there's nothing to stop that. They did it in The Boys in the new season, so.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
They did it so great, too. It just happens.
Yeah, I was not expecting it. I had to rewind. I was like, oh, my God. I mean, I was already kind of like, what the fuck is happening anyway? But then that happened. I was like, oh. It just got wilder and wilder. But
Season 3 is fun.
Yes. Season 3 is very fun and very interesting. But I'm shocked Disney allowed this.
Yeah, well. it's surprising.
Even though they just kind of vaguely reference it without actually saying what it is, we all know what they're saying.
Like, I felt like this just would have been something that Paul Rudd, like, talked about in an interview rather than something that's an official Disney property.
It's canon. It's canon now, guys.
It is, yes.
Oh, no. I think it's brilliant. But at the same time, I do not want to be on this cruise with my kids and, you know, my grandparents or, you know, their parents, their grandparents, sitting, just eating and then talking about, you know, entering Thanos' butthole. I think that's wild. It's wild. Yeah, this is wild. But it exists. Who knows? Well, you know what's crazy? Maybe now that it leaked, and I'm surprised the lack of reaction, really, I'm surprised not more people are talking about it. Perhaps they will remove it. Maybe they'll edit it before it actually launches. Maybe this was just like testing the waters to see how it would play. We don't know. July 14th is the official date that it sets sail. I think it's maiden voyage is what it's called. Begins. So we'll have to see. We'll keep you updated. But now we're going to move on to something else that I know Jordan does know about. And that is Disneyland, not Disneyland Paris, Disneyland. And this Princess Tiana ride that we've been hearing so much about. Talk to me about the latest update, Jordan.
And Disney World.
Disney World?
Yes, it's Disneyland and Disney World. It's both the American parks.
Both?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And possibly Tokyo Disneyland. I've read that they've been speaking to the Imagineers about it, but they don't really want to change Splash Mountain yet. But I haven't even said what we're talking about. They finally announced the re-theme for Splash Mountain, the Princess and the Frog re-theme. It will be called Tiana's Bayou Adventure. I'm not so keen on the title, like many people. I feel like there is a better title out there, and like there's like 1,000 better titles out there, but I am excited. Don't get me wrong. I just don't like the title.
That's awful. That is awful. I thought that they were referring to it as a Bayou Adventure. Mm. I didn't realize that was the official title.
Yeah.
That's whack. That's awful.
I mean, it does follow their traditional, like, scheme of being, like, characters, adjective, and then what it is. Like, I saw that on Twitter, and I was like, this is true. This is how they choose to, you know, it's like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, Peter Pan's Flight. Like, they have their formula. I guess they thought it would work for this, too.
It's kind of like Universal's formula, where they have, where all their rides are like, you're going on a tour, but then something goes wrong.
Yes. And then everything shoots water at you for no reason.
Yes.
I'm still salty about that. I hate that so much.
my whole thing about this is that, like, The Princess and the Frog, I think it's a good movie, but it doesn't scream adventure to me.
No.
You know what I mean? It's not, like, the most exciting Disney movie. So I feel like the attempt to theme the ride around it is forced. Does that make sense? Yes,
but they I think they picked this character for a reason and this movie for a reason. And so they had to kind of shoehorn it to make it fit.
And it is set after the film. It's an original story with the characters.
Yeah, whatever. I'll whenever I can afford to go to Disney World again, I'll check it out if it's done.
I think it's going to open in late 2024, so you have some time to save. I don't know when Splash Mountain is going to be officially going down for good. I don't know if they've announced that date, but it won't reopen as Tiana's Bayou Adventure until like fall winter 2024.
Yeah. I don't know, Jordan. Are you excited? You're the barometer for this kind of stuff. If you're excited, I'll be excited. Talk to me.
I'm excited because I do like Splash Mountain, but I'm happy they're changing it for like the obvious reasons. I'm not sold on the name. I feel like they should change the name.
They have time to change it too before it's too late, before it's branded on the ride. But
I think I'm really great. Kept the Splash Mountain name and just like Tiana Splash Mountain or something. Like a simple change like that would have gone a long way for me than Bayou Adventure. And I feel like a lot of British people reading Bayou will not know how to say that. They'll probably say like Bayou.
Oh.
No, that's a really good point. We'll see. We'll see how this goes. We'll continue to update you guys. Although there probably won't be any other updates, right? We know it's in development. We know it's got a name now. So what else is there along the way? Probably the next time we'll hear anything about it is probably when it's going to launch or if there's a trailer or something like that.
Unless they make some kind of like new animatronics, like specifically for this ride that are like groundbreaking, technologically advanced ones. I don't think we're going to hear much more about this until it's out.
Yeah.
Well, and with animatronics, I feel like the only new ones we'll get is Princess Tiana and Prince Naveen, and all the animals from Splash Mountain will just be recycled.
Probably. Mm-hmm. Yep, Disney's done it before. Well, we'll keep you updated, guys, as always.
The Splash Mountain animatronics are recycled animatronics, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, guys, stay tuned. We'll have more on this, but we're going to pivot from one animated Disney princess movie to an adaptation of an animated Disney princess movie, Snow White, which doesn't have an official release date, but I doubt we're going to see it next year. Just call it a gut feeling. But we got a very promising update in the form of a video from a cast member who no one really knew was a cast member up until he posted the video. Martin Kleba. You guys know who Martin Kleba is?
Yes, he was in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes, which we will also talk about in a minute. But yeah, Martin Kleba is the dwarf character from Pirates of the Caribbean. And 2 years, it's funny because Skylar posted an article 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago to the day, saying that there's a possibility he may be involved in Snow White. Martin Kleba went to Denver's Fan Expo, which is like their equivalent to like Comic-Con. And this weekend he posted a video from there holding a stuffed Grumpy doll saying, "Hey, Martin Kleba here, just finished working on Snow White where I play Grumpy. And yeah, we just finished filming, or I just finished filming my stuff. And it's great to be here." 19 seconds, super casually confirms his involvement in the movie and his role. Super exciting, super cool. But I know even though he is, he suffers from dwarfism in real life, I don't know if he's going to be playing a dwarf because they're going to be mythical creatures. So what do you guys think about this? Are you excited? Are you more fascinated to see the role where they're going to take, where Disney plans on taking the characters? Talk to me.
I'm excited for him to be playing the character of Grumpy. I think for a long time we were like, okay, I know it's terrible typecasting, but it was like either him or Peter Dinklage. Those are the big names that we know in the little person community that would have been like a good fit for this. And so I definitely like, you know, that he has that role. I feel like it's going to suit him really well. I just don't know how I like them being like, oh, we're gonna have them be mythical creatures. And so it's like, I know that they were talking about hiring like full-size people and having them play dwarves, which I was not okay with. So I think that was their way to try and skirt around that, because they don't want all little people actors. So they're going to call them mythical creatures. So that way they can not have like the bad PR surrounding having normal sized people playing little people. So I don't know. So I'm kind of interested to see where this goes, but I'm really skeptical.
What about you, Jordan?
Amber took the words right out of my mouth. I completely agree with everything she said.
I understand the reasoning behind the change. We've spoken about this before, but yeah, I'm curious to see if they will use this as a blanket to kind of switch up the casting. But regardless, we now know that we have one of the creatures cast. Curious to see who the six others will be. If, you know, unless they just make Dopey entirely silent again, then they'll just have him be purely CGI. But that remains to be seen. Very exciting update on Snow White. And as always, you can lock it into the Diz Insider for all the updates, because we've been following this thing from day one. Enough about Martin Kleba. Let's go into what Amber had actually brought up. Yes, he used to be a part of the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, but now, as we all know, the franchise has recently been thrust back into the limelight because of a certain very public defamation case with one of its stars, Johnny Depp. Did you guys see the rumor that swirled this week? And it is a rumor, guys. I will die on that hill. It is a rumor that Johnny Depp is coming back. I do not think he's coming back at all.
No. I my dad was like, look, Johnny Depp's coming back. And I was like, as much as I would love that, no, guys, these are 100% rumors. Johnny Depp he has no plans to return to the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise, no plans to work with Disney. As many of you probably remember, during his defamation case, he told Amber Heard's attorney that he would not be reprising the role of Captain Jack Sparrow, even if Disney came to him with $300 million and a million alpacas, right? So then this place, Pop Topic, was saying that Disney has a new deal with Johnny Depp, that he's going to be paid $301 million to reprise the role of Jack Sparrow for Pirate 6. Now, no actor is going to get $300 million for one role. That's not going to happen, never in a million years. And also the fact that it's just $1 million more than what he said in court, like, that's not a thing. This is someone trying to get clicks for their website. No actor has ever been paid triple digit million, like more like $100 million for a movie. And if they did, that's just disgusting. unfortunately, Johnny Depp is not coming back to Pirates of the Caribbean. I would love for him to, but I understand, even if Disney did offer him that money, why he would not return. And I just want him to be happy and just relax and chill for a while, and then start getting back into things as he sees fit, which is not the Pirates of the Caribbean franchise.
I could not. You said it in so many better ways than I ever could. And yes, just want to emphasize the point that, like, no actor has ever gotten paid more than $100 million. I think there might have been one instance. It was like Bruce Willis or Will Smith. They were paid for one movie, but it was like a franchise movie. And I think it was probably like with a return after the fact that they got like a bonus if the movie made a certain amount of money. Also, Johnny Depp and Jack Sparrow just like becoming the same person to me. Johnny Depp was paid, I think, like $450 million, or he made $450 million from all the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, but that's because he got paid, I think, $90 million for each one. So he made that money over the course of like 15 years when the first five films were released. Nobody would ever make that, or like two-thirds of that, for one film. Not happening. And I was surprised, like outlets like E! And the New York Post, well, not really the New York Post, but they're all BS, but like that they were picking this up and running with it. That was like the biggest shocker to me. But it's not happening, guys. Don't believe. Everybody's like, oh no, everybody's saying he is. No, guys, come on. The internet.
300 million is like the budget of a film as well. Yes! They're going to spend that person.
That was like almost, I'm pretty sure that's like more, if not the same or more than Tenet.
Yeah, I think Tenet was like 250.
Yeah, but also with marketing, if that's not market with marketing, that's like what, like 300, 350. So like,
yeah, no,
whatever. I hate
not that. Happening.
Yeah, definitely not happening, guys.
Fake news.
But you know what is happening, and what probably should have been fake news Bob Chapek, Chapek, Bobby, Bobby Boy, Bob 2.0, not Iger, okay? He's going to be back at Disney for like the next 3 years. What do you guys think of that? Jordan, I want to know your opinion, especially as a member of the Alphabet Mafia, as you call it.
I am livid that this human thumb has been rehired. I kind of thought that they would get rid of him. I really don't like him.
I don't think anybody does. This came as a shocker to me, too.
Nobody likes him except for the shareholders. They are he's making them money. Disney is actually getting like a buttload of revenue, and they're getting it from the parks, and they're getting it from the places that he said that he was, you know, like the best at, which was parks and experience products. Like, they're getting it from the merch. They're not getting money from the movies. They're getting it from people going to Disneyland and buying product. And for, unfortunately, even though Disney has literally stated, like, we don't care about, you know, annual pass holders. We want people just to give us a lot of money, and we don't care about the experience as long as we get money. That is not deterring people away from going to the parks. And so if they keep going to the parks and spending the money, Bob Chapek is going to keep being the president of Disney. That's just what's going to happen.
I think that is a wonderful point. Amber, I think you should write an article about that, honestly, because I understand exactly what you're talking about. Like, I don't think, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think I've ever seen such an emphasis on parks over the last like 20 years as I have in like the last 2 years, which is when he's been put into power. We're getting constant updates on all these projects across the world. And I know streaming is also playing a big part of it, but it's not nearly as big as like the bounce back after the pandemic, which I think is another thing shareholders are really happy with, that all these people are returning to parks after the parks closed for so long and they had to lay off so many people, right? So I do think that's a major point. But I remember reading the story and I'm like, this is short-term success. I don't know how you guys agree, if you guys agree with me or not. But like, the thing that made Iger iconic, iconic, I guess you can call it, I don't know. This guy was the acquisition king, okay? Do we have to even talk about what Lucasfilm, Marvel, Pixar, Fox? He left on a billion-dollar high note. And this guy just, he made deals that would make Disney money for like the next century. Whereas Chapek is just he's trying to keep the company afloat amidst all this scandal. So Disney, obviously, as you said, Amber, sees some value in it, but I don't know if it's sustainable. And I'm curious to see how the next few years shake out, especially I read DeSantis is potentially like the front runner to run as the Republican presidential candidate in 2024. What? Yes, he's like the Republican Party's golden boy right now, guys. I was so furious when I read that. And
at least it's not Tucker Carlson, but like, oh my god,
if he continues on the path that he has and he's not stopped, if this guy's put in charge of the country, I'm scared as to if he makes the country an ounce of what he's done, if he's done for the country what he's done an ounce to with Florida, we're in trouble. So it's definitely going to be a very interesting few years to see how this shakes out. And I'm still furious because I feel like Disney's kind of acknowledged the whole don't say gay stuff. And yes, they have a stance and they're at risk of losing Florida. That's like a big thing. But like, do more, guys. You guys are arguably the most influential company in the world. You guys are Vought. Okay. Well,
and what's interesting too is that they're doing more, but they're doing more in their movies, in their streaming, in their things that they're not as big in right now. There's nothing
things that don't matter.
Like, yeah, I mean, they have their like Pride merch or whatever, but that's just for the month of June, and then that goes away. And what LGBT stuff is staying is in their movies, is in their stuff. Like I watched all of Baymax and it was amazing and it was so cute and so sweet. And there's a transgender character and there's a gay couple, but there was no marketing for it. I barely remembered that it was coming out the day it came out. Like they're including this, but they're not making it known and they're not bolstering what does include LGBT content.
No, it's not only that, it's Baymax. It's 11 minutes short. It's like five, yeah, 11 minutes.
The whole thing is like an hour. Like, that's it.
Yeah, like they need to do more. Like, I love that you said that. Like, we need to have more stuff in things that matter outside of media that are permanent, not just things that you could sit down and watch a light year for an hour and 45 minutes and be like, oh, wow, there was a gay couple. Wow. That stuff only lasts an hour and 45 minutes. You know, you need stuff that's going to last outside of it. And like I said, I just don't think it's sustainable in the long run. But yeah, wish you luck, Bobby. I'm very curious to see what you do over the next 3 years. Maybe he has a redemption tour of some sort. Maybe
he'll fix magic keys. Maybe they'll fix that.
Well, look, he has got 3 years. They're still working out his deal and his salary, in my understanding. So that might be a part behind closed doors. They're like, look, we'll keep you on for one more term. If you do this, you got to fix your relationship with the shareholders, our relationship with the shareholders. We'll see what happens. But yeah, definitely the most surprising news, I think, this week. Aside from this incredible Avatar update that we also got, any Kate Winslet fans here?
Yes.
Yeah, I love it. Mayor of Easttown, iconic. Okay, great, great limited series. Kate Winslet is going to be in Avatar. She's reteaming with James Cameron once again. We all know this, but we did not know to what extent. And in a movie with human and alien characters, you never know who's going to play who. I think it was just revealed the other day that Stephen Lang is coming back as an Avatar character, even though he was the antagonist in the first one, which I think is crazy. Sigourney Weaver is playing the daughter of Jake and Neytiri's characters.
I don't even want to talk about that. What the heck is that?
I don't know. I think that we'll just have to see, because it's James Cameron.
I think she's still playing the character from the first film.
You think
like Grace is like reborn as their daughter, yeah, or something?
Didn't they really say a still of the character, and she's looking at a picture of Grace? Or did I see an edited picture?
I mean, they might have like spliced those or something. I have no clue.
I don't know.
I think it's weird. I think it's just really weird. I love Sigourney Weaver, but I don't think that her voicing like a teenage character was the right move here.
It's one of those things where it's like, maybe we won't understand the insanity until we see it ourselves.
Possibly.
I think they call it like kaleidoscope glasses, where like you see something in a trailer or in a still and you're like, I don't understand how that could possibly work. And then when you watch, you're like, it could not have worked in any other way, you know? So I don't know. But anyway, Kate Winslet is playing a Na'vi character, right? That's what they're called. She's going to be not an antagonist, it seems, but more she's going to be the leader of, and I'm probably going to butcher this,
Water Tribe.
Metkayina Tribe. The Water Tribe, yes. She's going to be the leader. And apparently, we also got some details about the plot. The film is going to revolve around Sam Worthington and Zoe Saldana, a.k.a. Jake and Neytiri. Their characters being displaced and forcing to seek shelter with the Water Tribe. And it's not going to be a smooth transition, but obviously it's Avatar. And from the trailer, it looks like there's going to be some sort of uprising and war. And we don't know if it's going to be against or with Winslet's character. Winslet is going to play a character by the name of Ronail. One of those. That's what Empire said. Credit to Empire for the story and the picture. But bottom line is Winslet is playing a Na'vi character. We know that the plot is going to revolve around our main characters from before and their family being displaced. And we're just getting more Avatar content, which means that there's no way the movie is not coming out in December now, guys, right?
Yeah, no, this Christmas for sure. I think they even moved, I don't remember whether Avatar moved or Shazam moved, but one of the two moved so that they wouldn't be releasing Shazam on the same day.
Yeah. So, I can't believe it, because it's like, we've been getting this news for like the past 10 years. Yeah, Avatar 2 is coming out this Christmas. No, it's coming out this Christmas. I remember when it was supposed to come out like the same year as Rogue One. And then they moved it. And I was like, oh, well, I think that's because Rogue One is coming out. And then it's been like 7 years. So it's James Cameron. That's all I'm going to say. The guy can do no wrong. Even if he makes a bad movie, it'll be his first bad movie. And that's still history. So... what are your thoughts? Are you guys excited? I don't know. I guess it's weird because it's Kate Winslet not being Kate Winslet, the beautiful Kate Winslet that she is. You know, she's going to be in like blue dots and CGI, but
I know that she, like, you know, she went hard for this role. There were the behind the scenes pictures of her in the big water tanks, and like she was so excited, and I know how much she put into this film and like all the hours of training and getting fit and all those under, I think she can hold her breath for some like crazy amount of time, she said in an interview. I just know that she went all in, and that makes me really excited for it. Avatar is one of my husband's favorite movies, and so we're both just really excited for this one. But then, you know, there's going to be like three more, and I don't know if it needed any more. So I think that's my only thing, is I was like, I didn't know where the story was going to go from here. I think it's cool to see some of the other tribes. I just don't want a repeat of the same story from Avatar.
Five Avatar films is too many.
Well, fun fact, this is another thing I saw earlier this week. James Cameron said that the way he pitched the movies was, he said, imagine if Lord of the Rings had five books.
Skylar and Derek are going to hate this.
He said, imagine if the original Lord of the Rings, right, had five books of the same quality, which he kind of did because, you know, all the books are good, but five books of that exact same quality, and they each came out a couple years from apart from each other. But then he said the challenge was, after he pitched that and after the studio bought it, that he actually had to create the books from scratch. So he didn't, like, he had create all this stuff.
Then it's supposed to just be one long, continuous, like, journey, I assume.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to link together. Although, even though
if you pitch it Lord of the Rings style, it inherently should mean that they do. Otherwise, he pitched it totally wrong.
Yes. I'm excited. This is like, I know it's not an original film because it's a franchise, but it is like a wholly original story. We do not know.
Yeah, it is something new, and that's what we've all been wanting. So,
for like 13 years. So I don't know. I'm excited. I cannot wait till we get a full trailer, because I feel like that. I remember the first Avatar trailer was like 3 minutes long.
So, I mean, it makes sense when the movie is 3 hours.
Yeah. So, bottom line, I'm hype, and I'm gonna take that hype to our
Move on.
Yeah, well, what's up?
You said James Cameron hasn't made a bad movie. I
disagree.
I wanted to see if I could disagree, and I found a film that lit me. Apparently his debut film is Piranha 2. And I haven't seen it.
Oh boy.
I've not seen that one.
Okay.
Wait. Then if you don't think James Cameron has made a bad movie, I don't think he directed it, but what do you guys think of Alita Battle Angel?
I didn't like that.
I thought it was good. Robert Rodriguez has done no wrong in my eyes either.
Okay, just need to check. That's probably Chris's favorite movie, like, of all time. He loves that movie. The second that it finished, he was like, sequel, need the sequel right now. Yes,
there's like a thing that they want a sequel.
Yeah, he's part of the Alita Army for sure.
Was that the last 20th Century Fox movie?
Came out in like February of 2019 or whatever. Before
the merger or some shit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm excited for that. I'm hoping that Disney does something with that. I do. Especially because they have Robert Rodriguez
is going to be busy. He's doing another Spy Kids film.
No, but he's like in their clutches now. He worked with them with Book of Boba Fett. True. So like,
yeah, but then they were saying if Book of Boba Fett was good and got good reception, then he could get Alita Battle Angel 2 off the ground. And we all know what people thought about Book of Boba Fett. So
I guess. But he also contributed some of the best episodes of The Mandalorian season 2.
That's true.
That's what got him mixed bag, I guess. So yeah. But yeah, I've never seen Piranha Part 2, but I heard the original Piranhas are called classics. I've never seen them, but I heard. I mean,
when a movie's called a cult classic, it's generally not a good film. I mean, I love Twister, I love Congo, I love Anaconda, but I don't know if I can call them good movies.
So we're gonna take them. I'm gonna take that point right there. Hocus Pocus was considered a cult film, and then it blew up.
Okay, that's true. I guess Clue is also considered a cult film, and that's a friggin' masterpiece.
The three endings, it's great. But I want, that's what I was going to jump to. Hocus Pocus 2 trailer came out. Amber actually did a trailer reaction on our YouTube channel.
I did my first ever trailer reaction video, and it was a lot of fun, and I made a lot of weird faces.
Hey. Okay. It's only weird if you really think about like the fact that trailer reactions even have to exist.
Right? It's so strange. And like, I didn't know if it was like a film that needed a trailer reaction video, but then I was like, oh, you know, as I was rewatching it, I was like, I guess it kind of does, because some of the faces I'm making are very memeable right now.
No, yeah, it's one of those things. Like, yeah, you can't think too much about it. You can't. It's fine. You know what? And I'm going to hold you to doing one when we get another trailer, which I assume will be like in the next month or so. You have to. And you have to outdo yourself. You have to outdo your reaction. You need to be like Supes. You know Supes?
Oh, God.
Why does that sound familiar?
He's that kid that does, oh!
Oh, oh my God. Okay, you know what? When the Lion King, the new Lion King trailer comes out, that's when you'll get me making the crazy faces. I'm going to start screaming, flipping the laptop. You got to wait for that one.
All right. We're holding you to this. This is in stone now. You have to do it. There's no backing away. But no, all right. So Hocus Pocus 2 trailer came out. I want to know your thoughts. And I also want to dive into like it broke records within the first 24 hours. So I want to know what you guys think that means. But what were your thoughts for the trailer this week?
I liked it. I was surprised at how much it actually pulled me in. First off, it was a nice teaser trailer. It did not give away the entire movie like a lot of film companies have been doing with their trailers lately. That makes me very mad. But it was so like, it started off really dark and gloomy and definitely had more of like that just grittier tone than I think the original one. And then, you know, the sisters come back and then it's going to be all hell breaks loose. And I'm just so... They all looked so good. And I don't know what the general plot of the movie is going to be. And I like that. I don't know where it's going to be going. I know they get brought back and I'm assuming that it's going to be about then putting them like back to the underworld afterlife kind of thing. But I like how little I know about the general plot of this movie, and it looked good. And I don't think that, I know some people are upset that we weren't getting Jason Marsden back as Thackeray Binks, but like, if anybody's story is like officially done, it's Binks. He's happy. He's like in heaven with his sister. Don't bring him back to have to deal with these witches again.
What about you, Jordan?
I am so excited. This is like my most anticipated film of the year.
Really? And,
I remember. Yeah.
I'm so excited for it. I've been waiting ages for it, and I'm so happy it's coming out finally. The trailer, I was annoyed it was so short, but it is a teaser trailer, so I cannot complain about it. But I thought it was a good trailer. I'm hearing the magic spell in the background. It just really pipes me up. I can't wait.
I do agree. It's a very effective teaser trailer.
Yeah. And then at the end where it was like something about, you know, finding like getting up on stage. Yeah. I was like, oh, yes. Yes.
I saw people saying, oh, they look older. It's like, well, no fucking shit. They're like 29.
Yeah, it's been 30 years.
But they look really good still. They Jessica great. Parker.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, if they do want to talk about, you know, them looking different, it could be because, I don't know, they've probably been in like the version of hell for 30 years. I think that would give someone wrinkles, you know?
I think even though they have clearly aged, that it does not look bad at all. Like,
it doesn't.
No. It's really like, it works is what I'm saying. In regard, I love and I hate the idea of not having Binks back. I agree he is happy, but they tease that black cat for some reason.
Yeah, but it's not even.
Maybe it's somebody else who gets turned into a black cat.
Possibly. Yeah, that'd be good. I just leave him alone. He's been through enough.
And I'm trying to think what else. Tony Hale. Very surprised we didn't get a look at him. I know he plays two characters in the film. So I'm assuming one in the past and one in the present, unless he's like twins in the present or something. But I'm interested in seeing more of his character at all. I was happy we got to see Sam Richardson, and I'm happy that they leaned into the witch angle, which is something I didn't expect. To like, these girls want to become witches, kind of. Mm-hmm. So the first film is about like not like just anti-witch entirely, right? They do not want witches around. They know that the witches suck the life out of young kids. But could we potentially see a team up between these teen girls and the Sanderson sisters? That's what I was thinking is the only way that I think this movie would work really well, is what if they became anti-heroes this time around? What do you guys think?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't like that.
You don't like that? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of hoping that we do get to see the girls use magic powers, because it would be good, kind of opposite from the original film where they didn't have any. But I don't like the idea of doing a Sony and turning the villains like heroes.
I just don't know
what I want from this film. You know, it's like there's so many different things, and I don't know what would be best. I hope they know. I don't know what to expect from it. And I think that's a good thing. I am excited for more Billy Butcherson, though, because he's adorable.
I love Billy Butcherson. And Doug Jones returning. Love that as well.
I love Doug Jones.
He's never missed another actor who's never missed.
I love him.
So I was thinking, like, if they want to do like a third film, that's why. I think it would be played out to like have the witches as the antagonist and then kill them off and then have them come back again if they want to make this like a full-blown trilogy. That's the only reason why I think it'd be fun to have them kind of like in anti-hero kind of thing, where like they're bad, but they enter the world and there's an even greater evil that they have to stop. I don't know. It's wishful thinking on my part, and Jordan hates it, so I will.
Maybe it could be their mom is the big villain, because they put her in the first one.
Yes.
And I think I have a theory she is in this one, because they've got the younger sisters at the beginning of the film. So maybe that's where I think Tony Hale's character comes into it. I think he has something to do with their mum in the past, like one of his characters.
Ooh, that would be really cool.
This is just me speculating. It's not like I've read a script. I've Googled to see if there's leaked scripts out there, because I'm so excited. But there's not, and, you know, I wouldn't promote
Jordan.
It if there was. I'm just so
For
excited.
Shame.
I know. I went on Reddit,
check Reddit,
and I was like, oh, I wonder.
Okay, I mean, I can't really judge. I do that all the time.
You check every day for Lion King leaks, right?
No, I mean, lately I've just been like, I want to know what's going on with Thor, but I also don't. I'm like, because I'm just so nervous, and I'm like, I'm not going to look it up. No, I'm not going to, but Stranger Things. I hadn't finished Stranger Things, but I needed to know what happened, and I was immediately on Twitter and Tumblr, like, what
It's
occurs?
So sad how quickly the leaks went online for Stranger Things. It really is sad. I stood up on Friday night I was up past 3 a.m. and I was like, no, I'm gonna wait until tomorrow. I'll watch it with my wife. And then by like 4:30, I think I was finally dozing off, and I said, let me check Twitter real fast, make sure there's nothing crazy happening. And somebody was like, I can't believe they did that at the end of episode 8. And then they had like a bootleg recording of like their TV. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, people have not even gotten up and seen the show yet. It's insane. This is the age that we live in, unfortunately. But that's all our news. Yay. Were there any stories that we missed this week that we wanted to bring up? Anything that you think is worth talking about at the end of the show?
No, just go watch Baymax, because it was really cute and really fun, and it told good messages for children. I think this is something that people growing up need to see, and it has the conversations that we need at this time. So go watch it, and that way, you know, it'll start sparking more original or more after stories to these kind of forgotten Disney films or these overlooked Disney films. So give it a go. It's very short, so just do it.
Has anyone watched The Princess? I think it's on Hulu in America.
Max did. Max said it was horrible.
It just seemed terrible.
I regret watching it. I just wanted to see if you had seen it. Yeah, it's not good. It's all just one long fight scene, which, you know, which is
the whole movie.
Pretty much. It's an hour and a half of her trying to escape a castle. And on paper, that sounds like a really good medieval version of The Raid or something, but it gets boring really quick because I'd lost interest. I was like, I'll just skip to see if she actually gets out or not. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Wow. Wow. Don't go see The Princess then. Or yeah. Do and decide for yourself.
Just have some popcorn, you know, cocktail or two. Don't think too hard.
One thing I didn't think we'd have time to fit was the Boy Meets World podcast, which I've not had a chance to check out, but I loved Boy Meets World, so I might have to do that. It's available on all your podcasting services. So, hey, after you listen to this episode, go check it out. It's with, I think, Danielle Fishel,
AKA Topanga.
Will Friedle and Ryder Strong, I believe, are the three who are hosting. So check it out.
Through the episode coming.
Wait, what?
Is it kind of like the Office Ladies where they do like one episode per podcast episode?
I don't know, but I do like those kind of podcasts too. So I'll check out the first episode. We can maybe talk about it next week. But yeah, that's pretty much our show for this week. And
Avengers Campus Paris is opening this month. Yay.
Finally?
Yeah, the end of the month. We still
with
got
Wong
ages
or without Wong? Or you don't know?
I don't know, but maybe, I don't think so, but I could be Wong.
Oh, Lord.
That was worse than the princess, and I haven't even seen it yet. Jesus.
I felt like if you got it at first.
Oh, my God.
If there was a better place to end the episode, it's there. No, but in all seriousness, I want to thank Jordan and Amber once again for joining me, as always, on this very sunny day, even though they could be outside. And I really do appreciate it. Always a blast talking everything and anything Disney with both of you. And thank you so much for listening out there. Be sure to lock it in here next week for another episode where we got some fun stuff, maybe potentially some Fantastic Four news, because I think we have something rumbling in the background of our organization that we're working on. So I don't know, might be worth tuning in for. Who knows?
Seth Rogen as the Thing. It's coming.
My God.
He said Joe Rogan as the Thing?
Ew.
Oh, yeah.
He said Seth Rogen, but Joe Rogan is just all the no.
Some Rogan.
Why did you put that in the universe?
Hey, I don't even like, Howard Stern is Dr. Doom. Then Joe Rogan can be the Thing. This is nothing but podcast hosts as the Fantastic Four. Let's do it.
Oh, God.
All right. That's it. That's it, guys. Take care. Have a great day. See you next time.
Bye.